Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros. After my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking, regretting it. What have I done? Like I walked into a circus. It's amazing, isn't it?
Phil Egan is here with us because it is time for Deal or No Deal. Manchester United are reportedly to be increasingly frustrated at the slow pace of discussions with Dortmund as they try to sign Jadon Sancho. Yesterday, the German runners-up sporting director, Michael Zorc, said, "We plan on having Jadon Sancho in our team this season. The decision is final." That sounds like the decision is final to me. I mean, I take Michael Zorc at his word. He says the decision is final. Game over, as far as I'm concerned. I think that answers all our questions. Talks are expected to continue into the coming days, apparently. He doesn't always mean what he says. They want a reported £108 million sterling, €120 million. Manchester United believe this is an excessive fee. What about COVID? What about Brexit? What about some other stuff that might lessen the amount of money we have? Very briefly, considering his talent and marketability and how much he hates Manchester City, as we established on last week's The Beef is Real, how much is Sancho actually worth, Phil? What's he really worth?
Well, it's hard to put a price on it because of what's gone on in the last few months. But, you know, you look at the, when United go in for these big deals, they obviously pay a lot more because clubs see them coming and they think, yeah, here's Manchester United. They have loads of cash and they're trying to get back to the top. They want to be winning Premier League titles and Champions League titles again. We have something they want. So let's whack on a bit of money. Similar to when you go abroad and they see the big Irish head in you and they think, there's a tourist, let's charge you a bit more. And that's unfortunately what United have to pay for at the moment. But looking at them last night against FC Copenhagen, and there's definitely a need to get a player like Sancho because at times they were slow and ponderous in attack and they need somebody like Sancho who can give them that X factor. And they've obviously got plenty of pace in the attack, and obviously Martial was excellent, especially kind of second half onwards. We know how good Rashford can be on his day. But just watching United at times, you just were trying to work out what they're trying to do. As soon as teams kind of sit deep against them, do they have players that can, you know, break the lines? And Sancho's one of those players. And obviously, Bruno Fernandes is the creator that you could see last night. He was trying things, but gave the ball away on numerous occasions because just couldn't get that final ball in. But they found a way. But they need to strengthen. And I think last night showed that. So can you put a price on...
Yeah, put a price on it. Come on.
Like, what are United thinking? 100 million? Do they not want to go with the three figures?
So can I just ask, if you're Manchester United and you get this player and the difference between 100 and 120 million is, you know, obviously it's 20 million, but actually the difference between 100 and 120 million is the ability to spend that 20 million on somebody else. If you don't have somebody else who's going to immediately become a first team squad member, who you're then also going to have to pay wages to, it's a false economy not to spend the extra money on this player who is 20, who is English, who hates Manchester City, who is going to improve your team. It's like messing around with the Harry Maguire transfer last year when they didn't need to. What they needed to do was get Maguire in, allow him to settle, give him the time to hit the ground running. It's one of the many contributory factors to their poor start that we talked about with Andy Mitten a little bit earlier on. 4 wins in 14 games. Obviously, Pogba was injured. They didn't have Bruno. Mason Greenwood wasn't yet in the first team and their goalkeeper was having a crisis of confidence. Get the players in early, do the deals, go and say, we're Manchester United, we're going to pay the 120 million. Yeah. It's only... So I'm looking at the record transfer fees here, right? Neymar, 222 million. Mbappe, 135 million. João Felix, 126 million. Like... I mean, João Felix is actually the best example here of a similar deal to this. But I'll move on. Antoine Griezmann, €120 million. Philippe Coutinho, 120 million euro. And then you get to 105 for Dembele and 105 for Pogba. It's 100 for Hazard. Ronaldo's last deal was 100 for somebody who at that stage I think was already 29 or 30. And I just think that this makes a lot of sense. Buy him, spend the
but
money.
But also as well, imagine what that does for the squad and the club if they sign Sancho. The boost it gives them. Obviously, you know, financially it won't be a boost, but it could be in the future. He's only 20. He's got a great career ahead of him. You know, he's been brilliant for Dortmund. He's obviously broken into the English team as well. And he's going to improve the United team and just get it done. It's not as if they have to pay the 120 up front.
No.
They can do it in installments. They have the money. They just don't like being mugged off. And that's the feeling that you get from United at the moment, where they're thinking, how dare you, Borussia Dortmund, name a price for us? We don't think that price is fair, so we're not going to pay it. That's all well and good, but if United don't start next season well, then the pressure will already start mounting on Solskjaer. When you think only a few weeks ago, you know, things were great. They obviously finished a little bit sluggish at the end of the season, but they got third place. So, you want to hit the ground running, and Jadon Sancho allows you to do that.
There was a moment at the end of the match last night where you mentioned the reliance, Phil, on Bruno. I mean, he went over with, I think it was just cramp, but there was that split second moment where you're like, oh no, Bruno's going to miss the Europa League semi-final, potentially the final. Like, is that a worry? Is that if Bruno happens to get injured at some stage, that the strength and depth in that United midfield just isn't good enough?
Well, it isn't. And Fernandes has played so much football for United in the second half of the season. Obviously, there was a break in between. But you think of even the FA Cup quarter-final where Solskjaer made changes against Norwich, but Fernandes was in there. And he's just become that important a player for them that if he's not in the team, they just don't look as good. Now, he was quiet enough in the first half, but then he got his shooting boots on. And, you know, we know how good he is from the penalty spot. I was even impressed with how he changed his penalty last night, where you thought he might do the little skip. He just absolutely hammered it into the goal. Not even as good as the keeper was last night, even he couldn't save it. But that's what you're trying to build. You're trying to build strength and depth. It's all well and good having a fairly decent first 11, but injuries happen and you need to be able to have backup. And Sancho obviously becomes a starter. So if Sancho, something happened to him, you've got players like Greenwood that can come in. And even by then, Greenwood could be a starter himself as a central striker. So you just need strength and depth, especially given what's going to be ahead next season, because the season is a bit more condensed as well.
Yeah, 100%. The price is 120 million. Therefore, you're either willing to pay it or you're not. And that's his value. The market decides his value. And it turns out the market is saying it's 120 million. I mean, they can negotiate and they can try and save some money here and save 5 million there. I don't think it's going to do them any good in the long run, because ultimately this is going to drag on. We do have an actual deal. We've been talking about this now for a couple of weeks. Greek defender Kostas Tsimikas is a red and will play for Liverpool next season. Where else do the club need to strengthen to retain their title?
I've kind of thought that they would definitely need a better backup goalkeeper. As good as Alisson is, he had injuries. He picked up an injury in the first game of last season against Norwich. Adrian came in and he did okay. He obviously had his moment in the limelight, where he saved the penalty in the Super Cup to beat Chelsea. But then think back to the Atletico game, and I still firmly believe if Alisson was in goal that night, Liverpool would have beaten Atletico Madrid and they'd be looking forward to a Champions League quarter-final in the coming days. So they need something better there. I think obviously Lovren is gone. Whatever Liverpool fans thought of Lovren, he was still a centre-half. They need probably another centre-half to bring in. Maybe, like, they've got a couple of young players, obviously, in Vandenberg and Hoover, but they're still quite young. Fabinho can obviously slot in there, but ideally they'd probably want another one, because Matip has been injury-prone, obviously, last season. Joe Gomez has picked up the odd injury here and there as well. So, and I think up front, they definitely need a better backup than Divock Origi.
Is it wild to think James Milner could have like a three-year career as their fourth choice, third or fourth choice centre-back at this point?
Do you know what? He's played in pretty much every position. I'm sure, actually,
he'd be really good.
He mightn't even be a bad option in goal. Who knows? But yeah, James Milner will cover a number of positions, but I still felt that they had to get an out-and-out left-back to cover Andy Robertson, and Tsimikas obviously gives that. But I think, yeah, there's talk of Ismaïla Sarr from Watford, a player that would have impressed for Senegal at the World Cup in Russia. Saw him playing for Rennes when they had a decent run in the Europa League the season before last, and ultimately they got beaten by Arsenal, but he was impressive. I expected him to be excellent for Watford. He had his moments, obviously, most notably against Liverpool in that 3-0 win. And this is a player that could play on the left, could play in the right, could play down the centre. So he would, I think he'd be an upgrade on Origi.
Palace are interested in him in the papers today as a potential replacement, which might mean that Zaha's available at a knockdown price. Would you buy Zaha?
If you're Jurgen Klopp?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to... He's going to have to... When you say knockdown price, you're still talking 50 million. And I can't see... If Klopp wouldn't spend that on Timo Werner, I can't see how he's going to spend that on Zaha. I'd imagine... Like, he is the kind of player that Klopp likes in terms of what he can do. And, you know, he's obviously pacey, bag of tricks, brilliant on the counter-attack. But I think it's a lot of money to pay for a player that you're not guaranteeing that he's going to start. Whereas Sarr is half the price and can play in a few different positions across the front three.
Out of 10, Sarr to Liverpool?
I'd still be cold enough on it. I still think maybe a 5 or a 6.
Okay. Chelsea are believed to have agreed personal terms with Kai Havertz. Bayer Leverkusen want at least 90 million sterling for the 21-year-old talisman. The German side crashed out of the Europa League last night and lost their last chance to secure Champions League football, which might hasten the young gun's exit, it says here. Should Frank Lampard push this through? Does Havertz score more goals than top scorer Tammy Abrahamson, who's nodded 18 times in all competitions last season, if he comes to England?
I kind of see Havertz playing as a midfielder. So I don't know what Lampard, his preferred position is. He's obviously deviated, sometimes playing three at the back, but that tends to indicate, we see with Arsenal as well, I know we'll talk about them in a bit, but that tends to indicate that you're not happy with your defence. So if Lampard can get those players in at the back, maybe he can play the formation that he wants. It looks like he wants to play a 4-3-3. So I actually would see Havertz as one of the midfield three with N'Golo Kante, and whether it's Kovacic or Mason Mount, maybe he switches between the two. But Havertz can play, he could play in your front three as well. But I'm looking at obviously Pulisic and Ziyech playing flanking Timo Werner. And these are all interchangeable.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of having a player that good.
So force it through, yes?
Yeah, I think it'll happen. And, you know, it's real intent from Chelsea. I said all this, by the way, is just going to add the pressure to Lampard, who has had an OK season. I'm struggling to see why he was named as one of the nominees for the Premier League Manager of the Season.
That was embarrassing.
Albeit, now this is the Premier League Awards. These are, you know, these are ones you can vote for yourself.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah, well, Brendan Rodgers was on that as well. I mean, I'm looking at Wolves are playing tonight. Nuno Espirito Santo, not only did they get
you... Not in the Premier League though, Phil.
Nigel Pearson
should have been nominated.
What about
anyway.
Ralf Hasenhüttl?
Hasenhüttl, yeah. I mean, the 9-0 probably counts against you, but at the same time, the recovery from the 9-0 should also count. Liverpool want to sell on midfielder Harry Wilson for 20 million, is what they're looking for. This is the world is full of ex-managers who signed players on big money from the subs bench at Liverpool. But Leeds, Newcastle, Palace and Southampton are all linked with the 23-year-old who impressed while at Bournemouth last season. Who should snap him up? Is there any argument for Liverpool keeping him at Anfield?
I don't think so. I think Liverpool have their hope there in Harvey Elliott, obviously a few years younger, but similar player, left-footed, could play on the right-hand side. But they've really got high hopes for Elliott. And, you know, it looks like he's got a big future ahead of him. Harry Wilson...
Exactly the type of thing that you want is 20 million coming in for these players.
Absolutely. And if Bournemouth were still in the Premier League, you know that they would have paid it.
Oh, but, yeah.
And, you know, he had his moments with Bournemouth, but towards the end of the season when Bournemouth needed wins, Harry Wilson wasn't getting in the team. But, you know, on his day, if he plays in a team, you mentioned Leeds there. Leeds, you know, have plenty of possession. They create chances. He is lethal when he gets a chance in front of goal. So I think he'd be a good signing for several Premier League clubs. And 20 million in the current climate, okay, I know things have changed a little bit in the last few months, but it's not that much for a player of Harry Wilson's.
So 9 out of 10, he's gone from Liverpool.
Oh yeah, I think they definitely want him gone. They want Gruwich gone as well.
Wolves expect to extend manager Nuno Espirito Santo's contract before the Premier League restarts. How far are Wolves from becoming a Champions League side?
Well, I mean, they could do it in the next few days if they win the Europa League. But I think they'll have their work cut out against Sevilla tonight. And if they were to beat Sevilla, they'd obviously have to play Manchester United, which would be quite the tie. But no, I think we've spoken about this before. I think they're a brilliant counter-attacking team. Can they hold on to their best players? Can they hold on to the likes of Jimenez and Neves, Traore, who, as good as he is, doesn't always start, but I have to say he's one of my favourite players to watch because when he's good, he just causes havoc. But I just don't see them being able to break into the top four because maybe the style they play, they're very much a counter-attacking team. They'll give all the big clubs serious headaches. Obviously, they did a double over Manchester City this season. But when it comes to playing teams that they have to break down, sometimes they can't get the job done.
OK, we have 2 minutes left here to rattle through these. Former Arsenal midfielder Aaron Ramsey is apparently, I don't know how they know this already, but apparently he's been told he's not part of Andrea Pirlo's plans at Juventus and is set to leave the club, according to the Mirror. He started 11 Serie A matches last season. Good value on $250,000 a week sterling. That contract runs until 2023. Is this the new Gareth Bale? Is he going to sit there riding the pine and counting his cash? Or will someone come in and pay a portion of his wages to take him off Juventus' books?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that. Do you know what? If he gets pre-season with Juventus, maybe he can show Pirlo that he has got a role to play. But we've seen this with Premier League players where they let the contracts run down. They go over to Juventus. I saw even with Emery Can, like he had high hopes thinking he was leaving Liverpool. And look what they've done since. And Can obviously had to go on loan to Borussia Dortmund. So it doesn't always bode well, that move away from the Premier League. I've no problem with players trying. I think it's admirable that they will go abroad. But there's certainly Premier League clubs that would like to have Aaron Ramsey in their team, but they'd have to come to some sort of a deal because $250,000 a week is
too much.
Yeah, it's a lot of money to be paying.
Don't move. Sit and enjoy the life in Turin. I mean, you're going to be living in a nice gaff. You've got like everything you want. Don't move. Take that money and learn Italian and come back and go, yeah, it was unfortunate. It didn't work out for me. We expect Willian to Arsenal to be confirmed today/tomorrow. How far are the Gunners from a return to the top four and where else do they need to strengthen in 30 seconds for me, Phil?
They need defenders, more defenders, and a few more defenders. That's where the problem is. And we talked about Lacazette yesterday, but one of the things is if they sell him, they get money. They need to strengthen at the back. They've got Saliba, who was on loan at Saint-Etienne. He's so young. It's a lot to ask of a young lad to basically be your main central defender. Do they stick with three at the back? If David Luiz is part of their defence, they have to go with three at the back. I'm not sure if that's the long-term goal for Arteta, but he might have to stick with it for the next season because unless they can get defenders in, they're not going to be getting anywhere near the top four.
It's a long-term project for them, and at least they're trending in the right direction. Now, the links between Jeff Hendrick and Newcastle continue with The Guardian reporting the deal will happen. We'll keep you posted on that one on otbsports.com and the OTB Sports app.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? It's like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.